Let's talk a little bit of the Nazi science that is impacting this entire planet today. How far ahead of the curve were they?
You know, that's always been the discussion. How much was propaganda? How much was actually true? And what's funny is that in the last week, there have been a lot of articles that have come out in mainstream British newspapers, which is a place that, as an American, I turn more and more for my news these days because they really seem to give it to you straighter than we get in our country and tend to have a lot of scoops. But there have been a lot of talks about Nazi science the last week. The Daily Mail in particular has been doing some stuff, and they talked about one person in particular who was the focus of my book, who is was a Nazi SS officer by the name of Hans Kammler. And Kammler was instrumental in helping to take some of these wonder weapon programs that the Nazis had and to try to drive them forward, to get them as full speed ahead as they could. Now, you know, like I said, a lot of it has been put off to Nazi propaganda, but it seems the further we go on, the more we find out that there isn't that much propaganda around a lot of these very interesting programs. As a matter of fact, I find it very telling that a lot of the science and information that we captured at the end of the war is still classified. That repeated pleas with Freedom of Information Act filings just get shut down. You know, the Germans were pretty far ahead of the curve. They had the first jet fighter that went into production, the first ballistic missile, and some other very, very impressive things that they just boggle the mind for the time that they were that far advanced.
You somehow, along the course of your work and research, discovered something about the Denver International Airport. I've been there a couple times. It's a strange place, Brad. Strange.
It absolutely is. And, you know, I know we've got listeners tonight who have heard other guests talk about things there, and we've got listeners who might not have. So for those who are familiar with the things there, I just want to recap a little bit. Denver International is a really wild airport because it was in February of 1995, despite massive protests, the city of Denver closed its previous airport, Stapleton International, and it opened the brand new Denver International, or DIA, as it's commonly referred to. Now, allegedly, this airport was built to allow Denver to step into the future. The popular information out there about why this was why it's so controversial is that, you know, people were upset, fewer gates, fewer runways, and they said that the new airport, as it opened, actually had reduced capacity. It has some runways that are longer, but what's interesting is it was built in an extremely high wind area that often forces the delay and cancellation of flights, which is very interesting. It's about 53 square miles, two times the size of Manhattan. But what really got my attention with this is that it was originally budgeted at $1.5 billion. But by the time it was completed, the price tag had risen to $5.3. Now, some said that was due to incompetence, but others said it was by design and that all of that money – and, George, I can't remember what movie it was, if it was Independence Day or one of those where suddenly the protagonist finds out that the government had built all of these things in anticipation of this great emergency. And the main character said, really? And the government person said, well, you don't think we were really spending $600 on toilet seats and hammers, do you?
I remember that.
Yeah. Denver International in particular is so interesting for people, especially conspiracy theorists, because it all but screams, look at me, something really weird is going on here. Whether it's the murals, the absolutely horrific murals that exist.
Strange,
yeah. Oh, unbelievably strange. The Masonic capstone that was put in there that is dedicated to a New World Airport Commission. I mean, it really goes on and on and on. And the closer gargoyles inside, all of this odd stuff, that the closer you look at it, the more you scratch your head and say, okay, I'm a reasonably smart guy, and one plus one is just not equaling two here. There's just too many odd things going on here, and it sure seems like somebody's trying to say, you know, there's more here than meets the eye.
What about the possibility of underground bunkers there or cavern something?
Well, that's interesting because at that particular airport, they moved something like 110 million cubic yards of earth. This is one-third the amount of earth that was moved for the Panama Canal. Now, this is a very flat site, yet they moved all of this earth. And there are reports that there are 8 sub-levels beneath the actual airport. As a matter of fact, it's been alleged that some of the first buildings, 5 of which were first built, somehow were built incorrectly. And instead of being corrected or torn down, were actually buried. I mean, who buries buildings in this day and age for 5 buildings to be built incorrectly? It's incredible. So that has fueled, that kind of stuff has fueled this thing of, all right, what's going on here? There's been allegedly 88 square miles of tunnels. And, you know, they had this big expensive baggage system that was supposed to be the envy of the world that they eventually abandoned. And these tunnels are so big, you can drive trucks through them and on and on and on. There's all of this interesting stuff. Along with the fact that all of the construction crews were brought in for very short amounts of time. They would work on a little piece of the puzzle, and then they'd be let go so that another group could come in, almost as if they were preventing one particular group of construction workers from seeing the overall picture.
The Germans did the same thing when they were working on projects. They had a lot of different people working on various segments. Right, the right hand didn't know what the left hand was doing.
And that's exactly the way compartmentalization works, so that you can prevent people from putting things together. If you work on A and this team works on C, another one works on B, another on D, if you don't ever get together and compare notes, you won't have a full glimpse or idea of what's going on in that project.
Do you think Denver and that region is truly being set up as the next capital of the United States?
Well, it certainly is interesting because if you get into the mainstream media, the CIA has talked about moving portions of its operations out there. And there was just something this last week about Washington, D.C. being a little too close to sea level, and maybe they should be moving